never like to say what my favorite tire shoe is. Zachariah Kalman, Cohen, right? Ben, Yael Bar Halit, and Abba Fuhr Shlem with the Silk Sha'ar Choli Yisrael.
Amen.
Cook writes it. The shorish of all machlo in the world, all illness. Why are people sick? Why are sick? Why are people sick? You're sick because you're not connected to life. Sick is partial death. Mar says Mali Kat Lakula Mali Kat Lapalda. Maruva. Is it up? The V finished all of Rabbi Meir finished all of Rabbi Kat. Anyone who wants to test it, give it a pin test. So Mali Kat Lakula Mali Kat Lapalda. A little bit of death. God is life. So if you're sick, any sickness in this world is because we're cut off from the Kishbar. So learn Torah. We try to heal some of the sickness in this world. That's what we believe. Otherwise, what are we learning for? Learning because of the Ratzon Hashem. We also believe when we're bringing healing to the world. So, we'll say the learning should be a schus for the Rafur Shleima. Because learning brings a schus to the world. So, you should think about that when you're learning. It's a different type of learning. You're not just learning because Gemara is intellectually stimulating, which happens to be very stimulating. But you're also learning because you want to bring good into the world. You want to bring refuah, you want to bring parnasa, all the good things. Learning brings into the world. You're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you bring all the hashpahs. When you learn, you bring hashpahs into the world. So, it's hard to say what my favorite parsha is, because any parsha I learn is my favorite. How can I say this isn't my favorite? I tell my kids, I say you're my favorite kid in the whole, I love you more than all the other children. But I tell that to each one of my children every day. Every day. They used to ask a theory. You said 5 minutes ago, you said that to my sibling. I said, it's true, I do love him the most. But I also love you the most. I say to the guys in yeshiva, you're the best guy I've ever had in this yeshiva. But how can you say, 3 minutes ago, you told that to somebody? You're both of them. Every parasha is the best parasha. But I'll be honest with you. Kedoshim is, Karemos, Kedoshim. You focus on Kedoshim. I don't have words for Kedoshim. We can start with Kedoshim now. 10:15, 10:20 on Thursday night, and I can take it. There's no heaven this Shabbos. This is a Sunday morning. You guys are going to be with your heads on the table. You're going to finish. No. So what does it mean? What does it mean, Kedoshim Tiyu? Kedoshim Tiyu is a mitzvah seseh d'oraisa for everybody in this room to be a kadosh. And that's already a revelation, because we don't think of it that way. We think that we have to keep mitzvahs. Like somebody says, no, don't worry about it. Next year, I'm going to eat kosher, and I'm going to daven 3 times a day. It's okay. I don't have to go to yeshiva. I don't have to be in Israel. It's okay. I'm going to be putting on tefillin. I'm going to be eating kosher. Like, to be a Jew means that you don't have good circulation in your arms, and that you have it's gastrointestinal. That's Jewish circulation and the intestines. But there's more to Judaism than just, oh, you know, the food I ate has the right action. You know what I mean? My bird, I have a bird at home, a canary. For whatever reason, my wife named him Chuk-Chuk. Hey, Chuk-Chuk. I said, good morning, Chuk-Chuk. He said, beep, beep. That was it. I smiled back. The Rambam says, Tzelem Elokim is a smile. When you see somebody smile, it's a Tzelem Elokim. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. Birds don't smile because birds don't have a Tzelem Elokim. Anyway, so my bird doesn't eat on kosher either. Even on Pesach, we're very makkah, no chametz for my bird. So my bird doesn't say, you don't even cook. There's more to being Jewish than just not eating on kosher. So you have to be, every Jew, no matter who you are, from the age of 13, is chayv midoraisa to be a kadosh. To be a kadosh means you go to shul on Shabbos, you see a guy down there, you say, is he frum? He's not so frum. He's not kadosh. What does it mean he's not kadosh? That makes him not frum? Just because he's not, yeah. Means he's not keeping one of the tired mitzvahs. I'm not here to, you know, speak against any person. I'm not kadosh either. I'm not kadosh. But that's what we're working toward. You say, oh wow, he's a holy guy. How many people do we say that about? Who do you say that about? Yeshiva or Nemesel's holy. David Abuchatzer is holy. And one in Nahariya, one in Yerushalayim. A few more in Yerushalayim, probably a few more in Nahariya also. But the average guy walking down the street, you say he's a kadosh. And then you go a step further and you ask yourself, what does that mean? What does it mean to be holy? Shinol the Goyim, also, there's a famous guy who wrote a book, not only one, but there's a lot. One famous book particularly, about what it means to be holy. Like, that's a big, everybody in the world appreciates there's some concept, spiritual concept called holiness, and yet, people don't even know what it means. We say it every day. How many times a day do you say it constantly? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. You say the word kadosh all the time. What on earth does it mean to be kadosh? So in other words, before you ask yourself, before you tell yourself, hey, I have to be holy, you have to define the terms. What does it mean to be holy? And then once I know what it means to be holy, I can start being holy. But that has to be the goal. The goal is to be holy, not to be frum. I looked in the Torah, it only says frum one place about a mitzvah. It says, begadav hu frumin. This is the only time it says, about a mitzvah, begadav, you should have frum clothing. So the mitzvah wears a black suit. The Seder, he's got skin disease and a black suit. It doesn't look so nice together. But that's the only time it says frum. What is this frum? Frum, not frum. How frum? Stark. You went to the park. What does this term mean? The term I know is kadosh. Kadosh, that's a Torah term. That's where you start from. And then all the other things, all the other terms people use in there, the labels that they give are meaningless. Are meaningless. You define kadosh, and then you spend the rest of your life striving to get to that point. So, I mean, in my mind, I don't know anything. I know very, 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 very little. I can't say I don't know anything, because that's what you're going to say. So what is he talking about for the next 30 years? Somebody once said that, you know, that there was a person who, you know, he could talk about any topic for 2 hours, and if he knew something about the topic, he could talk for 4 hours. Right? So, you didn't get that. Okay. So you have to... But in my mind, you want to go for Kiddush, you go to the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes, the whole book, 2 volumes, now they have it in 5, is about how to come to a point of Kiddush. Because that's the goal of life. The goal of life, again, is not to be frum, and the goal of life isn't even to make minyan. Oh, you know, I make minyan every day. Some people, they make minyan every day. I don't want to say, again, I'm not speaking against any particular Jew, because every Jew I've ever met, in my mind, is better than me. No question. I've never met somebody who I can't tell you in 2 minutes in some way he's better than me. In a lot of ways, I'm not saying that to be humble, I'm saying just to be honest. Everybody's better than me in some way. But I know some people, they go to minyan every day and they've never davened in their lives. They go to minyan every... I know, I go to shul. I mean, here and other places. And people never... They don't even know what it means to daven. They think that davening means that you take a text and you read from here to here. You know, a kid says to me, you know, my 5-year-old, 6, 7, he keeps getting older, now he's 7. So my kid, he says to me, well, you know, Abba, mani omer, azani omer, mipo, atpo. I told Abba Gamani, it's Palalta. It's Palalta? Both Palalta. Amarta. You should have Dale to daven and to say. So people think davening is you have the text and you say all the words. Some people, they give themselves a discount. They don't say all the words, they scan the page. You just sort of look down the page. I knew you were going to be here. You were here yesterday. No surprises. And that's that. That's not davening. Davening is a vote to believe. Your heart, it's the most emotional experience you have in your life, is a tefillah. Not an oneg, not a chug, not a Shabbos in Chevron. That's saying the Gemara, Ezi Avodah Shebeleg, Shabbat Bebet HaKvarot, Bemarat HaMachpelah. That's not what it says. And I'm not speaking against Chevron, we should all be able to spend Shabbos with Bobby and Zayi. But tefillah is called Avodah Shebeleg. In Ein Leg, there's no tefillah. And I go to places, there's no leg. It's words thrown out in the air. Everybody knows. Here we sit. Here we stand. You know. Here you go up 3 times. You don't really know. There's a lot of like Jewish movements going on in shul, back and forth, side to side. Some people go to some part of the Shemoneh Esrei this, some of the Shemoneh Esrei this. So you know, a lot of looking around. So, but that's not tefillah. Tefillah is lay. In Ein Leg, somebody once asked the Chazon Ish. It's a story. I don't know if it's true, but I believe that whether or not it happened is true. Somebody asked the Chazon Ish, is it better to daven in a minyan with kavana, in a minyan without kavana, because it's hard to have kavana, they go too fast, or to daven miyichidus, or alone with kavana. Alone with kavana, or a minyan without kavana. You know what the Chazon Ish's answer was? Is it better to daven or not to daven? Meaning, if you're davening with kavana, that's davening. If you're davening without kavana, it's not davening. It's just parody, saying the text. But we're not here to talk about davening. We're going to talk about Kedusha, to define Kedusha and then try to reach it. So here this Sfas Emes, I mean in many pieces in Kedusha, you can look it up yourself, he defines Kedusha. And here we have one, this is Tav Reish Mem Gimel. if you want to look it up. But we'll start, before we get to him, with Rashi. Rashi is really the most important. This is a little bit higher. Rashi is the most simple. Rashi is Pshuto Shel Mikra, Lo Vasi El Yashi Pshuto Shel Mikra. What is God requiring of every Jew? What does Rashi say? He remembers Kedoshim Tiyu, Prushim Tiyu. Prushim in Harayas. Rashi starts and he says, you want to know what it means to be holy? It means to stay away from anything that arouses any sexual, sensual feelings within you. That's what it means to be holy. That's what it means to be holy. That's all. That's all. Sorry, I don't look at inappropriate pictures. That's all. Yes, that's all, but it's not so easy. I don't know if anybody in this room has noticed, but from the time you reach about the age of 15, 16, 14, depending on the way your historical made you, but from that early, those early teenage years, it becomes an extremely big challenge not to think, look, have feelings for members of the other gender. It's the most natural. Why is it so difficult? Because it's one of the only mitzvahs in the Torah that tells you, mamish, something that you desire more than anything else, you have to completely distance yourself from. Right? You want to eat? Eat to your heart's content. To your heart's content. It also says the kedusha there. But you're allowed to eat. Everybody needs to sleep. It's a basic human need. You can sleep. Everybody needs to relax. Nothing in the Torah against relaxing. Everybody needs something physical. Everybody needs a connection. Everybody healthy needs a connection to a girl. That's nature. That's why there's 6 billion people in the world. Not every guy has kavana before, you know, oh, I'm going to be mekayem the mitzvah puru ruhu. Lo leto bara l'shevus yitzar. Not every guy has that kavana, but they do it because it's natural. So it's natural, and that's why there's just loads and loads and loads of people in the world. It's so natural, and yet the Torah says, you're not allowed to think about it. You're not allowed to look. The Nefesh HaChaim says that every part of the human body corresponds to a certain place in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a human being, v'shachati b'socham, I'll dwell in you, in the Beis HaMikdash of the person. The holiest part of the person is his machshava, is his seichel, that's where the neshama is, ha-seichel shochein. Ha-neshama shochenet b'toch ha-seichel. So since your neshama is in your seichel, if you bring a girl in there, says Rabbi Chaim V'lajner, the Talmud of Vilna Gaon, it's like bringing a zona into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim of a person is his mind, that's the holy of holies. If the person's holy, you're holy, all of you is holy. But the holiest part of yourself is your mind. That's the most human part. That's where you're thinking about Torah and about Kedusha. Like your elbow. Your elbow's very nice. It's good to have it. Use it all the time. But the Seichel, that's where the Torah is. That's where you think about, you ponder God. That's what separates us from animals. That's what separates us from God. And that's what separates, let's say, me from Rav Nevensal. Yes, we both have hair coming out of our face. But the difference is, what's going on up here? What's going on in the Seichel? And the Nefesh HaChaim says, this is the zona, for those who don't know what it means, you can figure it out from the context, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's very scary. I can imagine that there's probably one or two people here who've met people, certainly not from this yeshiva, not whoever went to yeshiva, but people who've never been to yeshiva who brought one or two zonas into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And natural, that's nature. In other words, you can't deny that it's, and we have to appreciate that it's nature, so we don't get down on ourselves when it happens. It happens. We have to realize that it's not. And the Torah is telling us you have to completely transcend your most basic nature. This one of the strongest human needs, and you have to transcend it from the age of 14, 15 until you get married. That's so easy. Some people are lucky, they get married when they're 18, 19, 20. Some people 22. Some people 28. Some people 36. I have a friend from elementary school. In my whole class, he was the nicest guy in class. To this day, he's the nicest guy in my class. I still like him. I'm still in touch with him. He's still single, so we're not so far away from 40. The guy's, I assume he's, I mean, he's about literally my age. He's a week or two older, younger than I am. I think a week older. But it's hard. It's very, the years go on, and it's a tremendous nisayon. And even after you get married, it's still a nisayon. Even after you're married, it's a tremendous nisayon. You put the ring on her finger, and all of a sudden the Yetzer says, nah, I have nothing to talk to you anymore. I'll go to the teenagers. You put the ring on the girl's finger, and the same thing that attracts you to her is going to attract you to any girl walking down the street. And Kedusha means, this is what the Sfasemis is in another piece, based on Tosis. Tosis says, Hared Mekudeshesli means Hared Meyuchedesli. That you're special to me. It's a special, unique relationship, and nobody else is involved in this relationship. So to be Kadosh, one area means that you're completely focused, you're completely devoted to God, complete fidelity. There's nobody else, and that's what marriage is. The Kedusha of marriage is that you're so completely focused on her, there's no other girl in the world. There's nobody else that you don't look, you don't think, you don't talk. I mean, you talk. Okay, that's a permitted conversation with the girl in the makalah. But more than that, it doesn't exist. It's a tremendous test. And in the world we live in today, you know, Rav Yerucham said an amazing thing. Rav Yerucham's the mashkiach. Mr. Brent brought a set of svarim. Anybody buys a set of svarim, you become my rebbe. I give you, I write you kvittles with my name and my mother's name that you should daven for me. You buy yourself a Rav Yerucham das chachmah musar, you're my rebbe. Rav Yerucham says, sometimes you could be sitting and learning a sefer. Sitting and learning, like I have in front of me a Shara Yasher, which we ever get to it. It'll probably be before Sunday morning, but I don't know if it'll be tonight. You're learning Rav Shimon Shkab, you're learning Rav Baruch Be'er, you're learning the Rambam. And you don't understand what the Rambam is talking about. What does he mean? Learning a Tosfos. You don't know what he means. Rav Yerucham says it could very well be that you're greater than the Tosfos that you learn. You're greater than the Rashba. I'm greater than the Chofetz Chaim. I'm trying to learn a Mishnah Berurah and I understand what the Mishnah is. And I'm great. Yeah. You know why? Because the Mishnah Berurah doesn't have the test that you have. And he quotes, he brings a proof from a Medrash, that there's something that we have that the others don't have. Because Avraham Avinu didn't have the internet in his house. And it's not because he was so firm, he kept the band of the Gedolim. I mean, he was one of the Gedolim. So it makes sense Avraham Avinu would keep his own band. Yeah, because, oh, he can't have internet in the house. Avraham Avinu didn't have internet, and Yitzchak didn't have internet, and Yaakov didn't have... Nobody had internet. So if a person today, there's an internet in the world, and a person is able to transcend it, to overcome that, and not to look, so that's much... They didn't have those nisyonos back then. Today, you open up everything. The world is so over... starts with an S, and ends with an X, and then has an ED at the end. Yes? There's so much of it everywhere you go! You can't walk down the street. You can't even walk down the street. Today I got off the bus, I was in the bus, so I got up a little bit early, I said, you know, it's good to exercise a little bit, you know what I mean? Just because, like, occasionally I carry one of those heavy brother comments with all the mafarshim in the back, it's not enough. Not enough, you know what I mean? People say, oh, really, you're a great basketball player. Yes, I wasn't a bad basketball player 25 years ago. Yes? So that's not going to help me today be in shape and feel good. I could play, but Hashem, and I had a lot of stamina, I could go for hours and hours and hours and hours, and I didn't want to take water breaks. Yes, 25 years ago, 28 years ago, but now it doesn't help keep me in shape. I'm still skinny, but that's just because of my metabolism. I got off the bus early to walk, even just to walk down the street. Like, what does it mean when two people are walking down the street and they're holding hands? No, there's something there that, you know, you don't do that. That's the opposite of Kedusha. Because there, they're having this physical relationship and they're showing it to the world. That's part of Kedusha, that's why it's called Kodesh HaKedusha. Nobody can see it. So they're sort of flaunting this physical relationship. That's not Verizon. And then when you see that, what are you thinking about? Why do they have... Today they obviously don't have it anymore. The world is getting better. But when I was younger and they would have movies, so every single movie always had some sexual aspect to it. Because people like watching it because they like bringing the zone into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's so just to walk down the street, just to open up a newspaper, just to open up a sports... You open up a Sports Illustrated. All year long. All year long they remind you. It's like Lahabdil Alpha Abdelos. You know, like if you're a Ben Torah, you're always thinking about the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. You're always thinking all year long, you're coming up to that point. Eventually on Yom Kippur and Elam, I'm going to have to answer to this mindset. Whatever you, before you're going to do something, what would I say about this in Yom Kippur and Elam? So all year long, they remind you that February time, they're going to have a swimsuit issue. All year long. And they, just because in case you don't know what it means, so they show you a picture. And it's interesting that the swimsuits, there's barely any swimsuit. It's a change. There's barely anything. So it can't be. It can't be that that's what they're trying to get you. And I remember once, they get these letters. I don't know what happens anymore, but they used to print letters to the editor. Oh, that's so disgusting. And they would print it. It's so disgusting. And then they would say that, oh, by the way, this is our best-selling issue of the whole year. So a few people say, don't send it to me. And most people say, do send it to me. And the goyim have no concept. And many Jews have no concept. That this is the opposite of Kedusha. How can you look, how can you be aroused by somebody else other than your wife? That is the diametrical opposite to everything in a Jew's life. In other words, the Yesod in Kabbalah, the foundation of our Avodas Hashem is Kedusha. Meaning to the extent that you're guarding your eyes and your thoughts and your speech, you're holy. To the extent you're not, you lost it all. People tell me, people, I get calls from America, you know, sometimes I call also, I have free American lines. So what's better than a good meal, a free meal, right? What's better than a good Torah, free Torah? So I call, and the guy says to me, yeah, you know, a lot of my friends are having a Yerida, you know, it's really, really hard to be a rat. you know, they're still from, you know, they still go to Seder and they daven three times a day, but they use Nivel Peh, and, you know, they go to places they shouldn't go, they're on the internet a lot, they're watching movies they shouldn't be watching. So what does it mean? What does their Torah mean? What does their tefillah mean? It's nothing. It has no yisod. It has no yisod. And they're the opposite of God. Torah is called kadosh. Right? A Torah kadosha. Right? Asher kadoshan and seven simano lasa within my Torah. Kadoshan. There's so many different places where we connect. What do we say when we take out the Torah? Rosh Shenosan, Lamo Yisrael, Torah, Bikdushasa, right? Before we say Grich Shmei. So Torah is connected to Kedusha. But if you don't have Kedusha, you have no Torah. There's no Torah. Where did the Torah go? You know what the Torah is? It's a nice intellectual thing. That he can walk in, he can strut into the Beis Medrash, and he can say, yeah, you know, Reb Chaim says that there are two dinim here. Well, it's a parrot. It's a parroting off, oh, a nice Chakira, and I'm really from, oh, and you know, and a stern girl's going to like me because I'm in this and this shir, and it's really impressive. But it's nothing. It's nothing. It's, you know, like the Chafetz Chaim says about Lashon Hara. Chafetz Chaim says that when you speak Lashon Hara, so it's like you're putting your mouth in a garbage can. And then when Torah words come out, so they're all filthy. They're all filthy. So if a person is learning the Torah Kedosha, but his body is filthy with this, so then it's contaminating the Torah. It's not even a good thing. So we say, hopefully he'll learn Torah and the Torah will bring him back. But this Prushim and Arayas, people say, oh, is it, you know, it's really okay, they discuss, is it okay to have a co-ed school, not okay to have a co-ed school? There was no rabbi since the beginning of time, since Avram Avinu, who said it's okay to have a co-ed school. Ever! Because there's not one Mamar Chazal that says that a boy should be near a girl. Boys should never, ever be near, ever, ever. The only exception is, Moshe Feinstein says, that if you don't have a co-ed school, you're not going to have a Jewish school at all, you can have a co-ed school. You can have money for two schools. Or if you don't start a co-ed school, then they're going to go to the, you maybe have enough money, but they're going to go to the non-Jewish schools, so better you sit in class next to a girl and learn Gemara than, you know, you sit with the guy. There are exceptions to the rule, but that's only because of Shas Adchak. There's no other way to do it. But that a boy should be, that a boy should stop talk to a girl just for pleasure, just because he likes talking to her. That is, there's no place in anywhere in Gemara, Rishonim, Achronim, any place you're ever going to see, and I've looked and I've searched far and wide for any real rabbi. I want to say, you know, Rabbi Lauren Friedman, you know what I mean? This the rabbi of some reformed temple in Long Island. You know what I mean? She, and you know, maybe she'll write something and say that, you know, it's really a good thing, and you know, it develops them. By the way, they've even done studies that it's not even secular people, just secular-wise, it's not a good, it's better to have separate educationally. But even, you know, one guy was once telling me, he's in 10th grade in a certain school, he has a chavrut tata, he can't focus on the Gemara. she's prettier than the Gemara. Most girls are prettier than the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't have such nice graphics. So that's the world today. So you want to say, okay, there's nothing we can do. There's not that society. If somebody goes, I'm not going to say you're a bad person. I'm not going to say that somebody's a bad person. I'm just telling you, what's the ideal? We're talking about the ideal. And if somebody's going to go and say, oh, but for this summer I'm going to camp so-and-so, and I understand that there are going to be girls in this camp. So I'm telling you the ideal. Are we at the ideal? We're not all at the ideal. Even Ali Erman, in many areas of his life, he's not at the ideal. He tries his best, but he's not there. But I'm just telling you, what's the ideal? The ideal is Kedusha and Rashi. Nobody argues with Rashi. Meaning, on the concept, particular Pshat in the Pasuk, maybe. But in the concept, nobody argues with Rashi, says it's Purushim. And then what's the other side of the coin? How can it be that if you're Parushman Arayas, you're necessarily holy? The answer is, how are you possibly going to be Parushman Arayas? How are you going to separate yourself from these things? The answer is, you have to go with another Taiva. You have to supplant Taiva A with Taiva B. How are you going to have a Taiva that's as strong as Taiva's Nashim? We're all guys in the room, Hashem, we can all talk straight. How is there a Taiva in the world that's as strong as the Taiva we have for girls? There's only one I found. I've been looking, by the way. I've only found one. And you know what it is? Torah. If a person has Torah, but if a person's really into learning, that's a Taiva not as strong as girls. It's much, much stronger. It's much, much stronger. I heard a mashal from... Am I going to get to this last sentence? I hope so. I heard a mashal from Yechezkel last night. Gave me a mashal. I was going to kiss him. I like this mashal so much. I was going to kiss him with the... He's a married man having Purushim and Arayas. Anyway. So he said... I think it's Rabbi Nachman. This is what's the Yetzer Hara? It's a horror. The guy comes up to you. He says, I got something in my hand. And he starts to run. You start pursuing him. You run after him. He goes this way, that way. He's faking you out. Finally, you jump on him. You open up his hand by force. What does he have in there? Nothing. He has nothing. And he gets up. He says, I have something in my hand. And then you run after him. And you run after him. You tackle him. You open up his hand. Oh, you know that? It's an open layup. Oh, you can't take this. What does the Yetzer Hara do? I'll be honest, guys, I'm not telling you something I read in a sefer. I'm telling you from my own life. You succumb to a Yetzer Hara, and there's nothing there. It's all 100%. It's okay, so what? So you went, you ate the meal. So now I'm full. Now what? Okay, so you went, you looked at the girl, you walk in, she's pretty, wow. Eyes popped out of their sockets. Now what do you have? Do you have a relationship?
No.
You have anything deep? You have any connection? You have anything that's gonna last? No. What do you have now? You're gonna run after the next one. You're gonna open it up. Oh. And that's what it is. That's all the titles of this world. A person has nobody ever in this room knows, but Teva Adam, it's even written this far. A person has Bia. And in order for a person to have Bia properly, in order to have children, there has to reach a certain level of tithing. So you reach that level, and then finally, the holy Jew, the future holy Jew, is released, and then a second later, you lose all tithing. A second later, it ceases to be interesting to you. So I think the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, you see from there that we have this tithing just to have children. Because after it comes out, you're not interested anymore. So you saw it, you got it, and then a few minutes later, so then the body goes back, and then you want it again. So all the types of this world are like that. See, when you saw and you look. See, if you go to a guy, he's 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, of just giving into his typhus, and he's empty. He's empty. People who give into their typhus, they're not happy people. They're not happy people. They're in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're in Drugs Anonymous, and Sexual Anonymous, all the different anonymouses, they're not happy people. And they gave in again, and again, and again. And I once saw an interview, and I'm not even going to say his name, because he's such a tummy person, and he's a Makom Kadosh. A person, a famous athlete, who spent his whole life, just satisfying his tithes. And he wasn't a Baal Musar, he didn't learn the Silas Yisharim, he didn't come Thursday night, none of this stuff, he didn't find the river. The end of his life, he said, after all is said and done, I wish I just would have had one woman, and gotten married, and had a regular family. That's what he said. And nobody was able to satisfy his tithes with this person. And that's what all the tithes are. But in order to realize that, your spirit... But if you experience it, and then you open, you got him, and then you open this hand, it's empty, but there's still something inside that says, maybe not. It's like buying a newspaper. Why do people buy a newspaper? They're looking for something that's going to entertain them, that's going to interest them. It doesn't make you happier to buy the newspaper. But they're hoping, so the next day they go again, and they buy the newspaper again. Say, oh wow, you know, he raped her, and he killed him. Wow, and Obama says we have no right to build in Jerusalem. That makes you feel good? Like, well, what? And the next day they go again, and the whole world is built on that model. Of trying to get something fun, that party, that excitement, and then it goes after the drugs. That I've never done before. But I'm told, you go, you have the high. What happens afterwards? Down. Like a cousin of mine once had surgery, and she was given cocaine, just as a painkiller. Also, the doctor had some extras. So she was given cocaine, and she had this big high she never had before. And then afterwards, she said she had a tremendous low. And the doctor told her, remember the low, don't remember the high. And that's the whole world. You get on the drug, and he gives you the high, and then there's this big low, but then you have to, afterwards, but I need that high again. And everybody, all the world, they're looking for the highs, they're looking for the excitement. The only way to combat that, because I'll say, Baresi Yetzahar, Baresi Torah Tavla. And then once you have the Tavla, you have the Torah, so you're such a Tavla. What does the Minchas Chinuch say about this? It's mamish. You can't control yourself. You get up in the middle of the night. What does Tosis mean? Then you hear it pshat. And then you get the Gemara. You get the Gemara down. Somebody once told Revolva, that was a great Baal Musar, that he's experienced most of the delights of this world. He's never had a pleasure like knowing Gemara Rashi Shakla V'Tarya Baal Peh. Just to know, just to be able to go down the page. He says, and it's an exquisite pleasure that I've never experienced, not on a college campus, not in a restaurant, not at a party, just to know Gemara Rashi Baal Peh, to be able to go down the page. And you know what? I've seen people get into learning, and you see this sparkle in your eye, that they just, they don't have anywhere else. And you see people who are constantly going after their typhus. And again, I'm not telling you something I read in a book. I'm telling you something I've seen with my own eyes on thousands of occasions. That people who are running after their typhus, they're not happy people. They end up getting nothing. And the other side of the coin is, it's kedoshim to you, because if you're parish, you can't live in a vacuum. So you're going to have to go for another type, and you go for the type of ruchnias. And there's so much there, but first you have to experience it. So anyway, that's Rashi. So Asana says, kedoshim to you, this was said by Hakel. He says, the only way to be zochet to kedusha is if you're mevatim yourself to Klal Yisrael. Kedoshim to you was said as a whole. So in order to be kadosh, another type of kedusha is to be mevatel yourself, to nullify yourself, to make yourself part of Klal Yisrael. Here he has Rav Shimon Shkab. He quotes, there's a medrash. This medrash is worth $1 million. It says, kedoshim to you, you have to be holy. Yochel kamoni, I might think that you can be as holy as God. And Mar says, Talmud Olmauer. Think of the Havamina. For me, in all the midrashim I've ever seen in my life, this is the most powerful medrash I have ever, ever experienced. I say experienced not only intellectually, but emotionally. The medrash says, Yochel kamoni, it's two words. What do those two words mean? I might think I can be as holy as the Rabbonu Shalom. There's a Havamina. There's a notion in the Medrash. And the Medrash entertains the notion. What happens when you entertain a notion? The notion has a really good time. The Medrash entertains the notion that you can be as holy as the Rabbanu Shalom. So if somebody would come to me and say to me, you can be as holy as the Chofetz Chaim, I'd say, come on. Chofetz Chaim. You hear stories about the Chofetz Chaim. I could be holy like the Chofetz Chaim. So he says to me, you could be holy like Lubavitcher Rebbe. See, I could be holy like that. He used to fast. He used to fast constantly. He didn't sleep. He barely ate. He Yomam Belaili, he was helping Jews. He was learning Torah. He was also seeking Kabbalah. He was telling Wernick's parents what's going to happen in the future. See, all these things, the holiest of holy. I could be as holy. You could be as holy as the Bava Sahib. I wouldn't believe you in a second. I could be as holy as the Bava Sali. Bava Sali takes a little bit of a rock, takes out a guy in the wheelchair, puts a little bit, rubs it. The next thing the guy thinks he's an Ethiopian marathon runner. You know what I mean? He goes to New York City. He runs 26 miles right out of a wheelchair. What do you mean? The Bava Sali. The manager says, you could be as holy as the Rabbanu Shalom. You could be as holy as God. Talmud Lomar. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. I'm holier. At the end of the day, I'm holier, but your Kedusha is still, in other words, it's the same sug, it's the same category of Kedusha, just my Kedusha is a higher level Kedusha than your Kedusha. So you can be not only as holy as the Chofetz Chaim, and as the Bava Sali, and as the Moshe Feinstein, and the Lubavitch, and any Rebbe you want to take, would be David Abuchatzera, or the Stiper, or Chaim Kinievsky, any tzaddik you want, Ravina, Ravashi, Hillel, Moshe Rabbeinu, but you can be as holy, the Havamina, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the end, the maskana is, no, God is still holier than you. And then the Medrash continues, and strangely enough, the Medrash says, V'olam l'medim mi'paro ha'rasha. We also learn this from Paro. V'yomer Paro Yosef, v'ani Paro. He said, I'm Paro. Yahu kamoni, you might think like me, Talmud Lomar, ani Paro, I'm holier than you, I'm higher than you. So Sfasemis says, wait a second, we're talking about Kedusha, how does Paro find his way into this story? You gotta be holy, you gotta really be holy like God. God's a little bit holy, but you got to be holy like God. Like Paro. Because he said the most Paro says to Yosef, I'm Paro, meaning you're not as great as I am. I'm greater. You're in the same category. You're the viceroy. You're the second. Well, how does Paro get into the story? So the Sfasema says that, K'moshe Paro lo hemedes Yosef rakul tovus atzmo. Shura shuchakam emidu lishmas machul sheshel Paro. Ukein lo yeh kedusha dover nifl rakadil esvadvo yisvaki kadoshani. What's the whole idea? What was Yosef's greatness? What was the purpose? Why did he raise Yosef to power? For his own sake? So he can benefit from power. He can help power. So the Medrash is saying, what does it mean to be holy? Why are you holy? You say, oh, why? That guy's... So you can be Dovik B'Shem. You be Dovik... That's the purpose of the holiness. To be Dovik B'Shem. So to the extent, you can't be as holy as God, But you can keep going. Could you shut the lamalim? You keep going higher and higher. You're never going to get there, but you can constantly become holy. There's no end to the amount of kedusha you have. And in order to do that, again, it starts with being parish min harayos. And then, like we talked about before, haram akudeshesli. When you say to a girl, haram akudeshesli, Tulsa says, haram yuchedesli. Because there's nobody else. There's nobody else in the world that I have a deep relationship with other than you. To be holy means, God, there is nobody else in the world who I have any relationship other than you. Nothing else interests me. If it's going to bring you me closer to you, then it interests me. But if it's not going to bring me closer, then that's the opposite of kedusha. And what brings me furthest from God? What brings me furthest from God is our rights. Now, anything can bring me furthest from God. It could be running after money. It could be running after food. It could be running after sleep. It could be being lazy. Lots of things can distance me from God, but nothing distances you from God like arayos. So here, now we're back to Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon Shkab, he was a big rabbi in Lithuania, even was a rebbe in YU for a short while, and I think in 1934. And he has a sefer, which is learned in most of the yeshivas, called Shara Yashar. So in the Shara Yashar, he has Akdama, the preface to the Shara Yashar, where he says, how can this be that we're told that we can be holy like God? So before I quoted this Svasemes, since Svasemes says you have to be from about yourself to the cloud. You make yourself part of Kal Yisrael, and Kal Yisrael as a whole is very holy. So he says something interesting. He says something similar. שבמצווה זו כלו כל יסוד ושורש מגמת תכלית חיינו שכל עבודתנו ועמלנו תמיד מוקדשים לטובת הכלל. He says, this mitzvah of Kedoshim Tinyan, what does it mean to be holy like God? God's a spirit. He's not anything physical. He's not anything we can describe. So how can you be like God? The answer is, what is God doing all day? What is God? Is God busy with himself? He combs his hair, he brushes his teeth. What does God do all day? He takes care of us. To the extent that your life is about helping other people, then you're like God. You're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about others. And that's the comparison between you and God. So you can't be as holy as God, because at the end of the day, you have to brush your teeth and comb your hair. You have to do stuff for yourself. You have to eat and you have to sleep. You can't be completely devoted to others, but to the extent that you're devoted to others, you're kadosh like God. שלא נשתמש בשום מעשה ותנועה, הנאה ותענוג, שלא יהיה בזה איזה עניין לטובת זולתנו. Nothing we do in life should be only for ourselves. Everything should be with someone else in mind. Someone. You're married, you go to work in the morning, you say, I'm also working for my wife. I want to bring parnaso for my wife, for my children. You go, you daven. Daven b'loshen rabbi. You're not just davening for yourself, you're davening for others. You eat breakfast. Why are we eating breakfast? You sit down to eat breakfast. You say, if I can't eat breakfast, I can't contribute to the world. I can't contribute to society. I can't do anything for anybody. So you eat breakfast with other people in mind. When you learn Torah, why are you learning Torah? Why are you learning Torah? So you can say, I finished the Masechta and feel good about yourself. So if you need a little bit of Lod Lishma, we all need a little bit of Lod Lishma. But I'm finishing them. I'm learning Torah because I want to bring more Kedusha to the world. Because when I learn Torah, I bring God down here. And when God is here, good things come about. And when I purify myself, so I'm able to spread godliness to the world. The more godliness I have within myself, the more godliness I can spread to us. And that's the greatest chesed. The greatest chesed you can do for somebody in life is a chesed in ruchnias. A chesed in gashmi. So what'd you do? You gave somebody lunch. How long does lunch last? For a guy, good yeshiva guy with a hearty appetite, an hour and a half until he gets really hungry. Yes. But when you give somebody ruchnias, what did you do? Somebody, a shana aleph guy, next year when you're all shana ben and shana gimel, a shana aleph guy is stuck on a rashi. You go up to him. Put your arm around him. You say, what's the problem? He says, what does this mean? And you help him. You just gave him netzach. You gave another person eternal bliss. Eternal bliss. It's all for him. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's for you. Love him. You want to help him. You want to give it to him. That's what it means. Come up. All these things. It's not just the physical realm. You give somebody something spiritual. The more you have yourself, the more you can give to others. So everything you're doing for yourself, it's for others. Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach would go take a nap and he would tell his wife, if anybody needs me, I'm preparing shir. She said, preparing shir. That's it. If that's preparing shir, you guys, a lot of the guys in this room prepared a lot of shirim this year. What's that? What? The answer is, I prepare a lot of shir. The answer is, I can't give shir unless I go to sleep. Unless you give yourself what you need, you can't give to others. Somebody says to me, oh, it's a good thing for me to play ball. Of course it's a good thing for you to play ball. If you don't play ball, then you can't be yourself. You can't be a normal teenager plays ball. So you're playing ball, but you're playing ball, so I remain normal, and then if I remain normal, then I can contribute to society, and I can learn more, and I can daven more, but it's not about me. we're taught, unfortunately, from a very young age, to be egotistical. Oh, but that's the Western education. You have to think about yourself, and you have to get ahead in life, and you have to make something of yourself, and you have to make a name for yourself. What's this yourself? What's this? You know, one of the best tzaddik stories I ever heard in my life was about Rav Aaron Kotler. His wife said that in all the years they were married, just about all the years they were married, she never once heard him talking about himself. How can it be that somebody doesn't talk about himself? The answer is because he was an Adam Kadosh. And all an Adam Kadosh does is he thinks about others. Somebody once came to Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, I have a request. What do you want? He said, my request is, he was a really devoted chassid, that the Rebbe start taking better care of himself. The Rebbe doesn't eat properly, the Rebbe doesn't sleep, in 51 years he never took a vacation. Not one minute of vacation. Not one minute. Why? Because he decided that he's devoting himself to Kal Yisrael. And that's what makes you Kadosh, and that's what gives you Ruach HaKadosh. Personally, not that, how can it be? How can it be? I'll tell myself, a day doesn't go by when I don't have a half hour conversation with my wife about myself. A day doesn't go by. What's bothering me? What's not bothering me? My son? What's going to be with him? What's going to that? Where I'm going? What I'm doing? What I like? Oh, yeah, I'm learning. I'm not. I can't go a day. I think about this story. So I can suppress it. I can suppress it a little bit. But then it's going to come out. She's going to have to sit for 4 hours and listen. Why? Because I'm at the level of Kedusha. She says the level of Kedusha is that your every hanah you have, every tiny you have, is for others. So it's Pesach time. And a Kaddish person says, what can I do this Pesach to be more Kaddish? See, because I'm going to Miami Beach, Florida. I'm going to Miami. So first of all, I'm not sure if everything you see in Miami Beach, Florida is necessarily... Actually, I think it was what Rashi was referring to. But what Rashi was referring to on the negative side. So, is it going to help the Jewish people if you go? Is it going to help if you go? That's the question. Maybe it'll help your wife. Maybe you should go. Maybe your wife needs a vacation. Is this necessarily the place? Or maybe, if you have $25,000 extra dollars... So maybe you should spend $5,000 just to buy everything, you know, in so that your wife doesn't have to prepare. And maybe with the other $20,000, you can feed hungry Jews. The hungry Jews walking around. Think, how am I getting hana now for myself at the expense of others? The moment you're getting it's a very high madriga. It's a high madriga, and I'm very clear, full disclosure. I'm not on that level. I'm going to go to Miami for Pesach, but I don't really have any sign. I don't have the money to give them any sign. But this is the level that we're all striving for. To be Kaddish means I get no pleasure in this world unless somehow I'm giving somebody else pleasure. Unless there's going to be some benefit either from my neshama, which ultimately is going to benefit society, which is going to give Hashem nachas ruach, or literally for society, literally for other people, even for somebody. But just stop to take a piece of cake and stick it in my mouth because I like cake, that's the opposite of Kaddish. It's hard to talk about. What do you mean? It's kosher. What's the problem? It's kosher. The answer is no. Are you getting pleasure just for the sake of pleasure? And if you're not on that level, say, yes, I am getting pleasure just for the sake of pleasure. But I hope one day to be on the Madrega where I don't get pleasure just for the sake of pleasure. I eat in order to make a bracha instead of making a bracha in order to eat. Here he continues. We don't have time to go through everything what Shimon says. But basically, that's the way he defines Kedusha. Kedusha is that everything I do in this world is in somehow, some way to benefit somebody else. It's not about me, and that's the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that way we can be like Hashem. So the question is, when you're making a decision in life, you have to ask yourself, every time you talk about next year, what am I doing, this and that, what am I doing for the summer? The question, I don't usually ask people this question because they don't even know what I'm talking about. I just fill up the planet Mars. Yeah. Is it a Makom Kadosh? Is it going to make you holier? Not are you going to be frum. Everywhere you go in the world, you can be frum. You can be frum in Peking, I don't know, in the middle of China, in the middle of Japan, somewhere, anywhere in the world you can be from. Where does it mean to be? So you put on, is it going to make you an Adam Kadosh? I'm going next year, I'm going to NYU. NYU, by some miracle, accepted me. I'm a high school dropout. They never took my SATs. By some miracle, NYU, they have a big medical library. Just remember, as I was talking, they have a library called the Ehrman Library. The Ehrman Library, some guy named Ehrman gave them $25 million, whatever it is. And they made Xavier Shover, Ehrman, so they accept me. They accept me to say that. So I'm down in the village. I'm down in the village. Wow. Can you get a minion in the village? Oh, God, you can get a minion in the village. You don't think there's any Orthodox Jews in it? You get a minion in the village. Can you get Torah in the village? There's a Lubavitcher guy in the village. You know how I know that? Because there's a Lubavitcher guy everywhere. So you're going. Is it going to make you holy to be in the village? Is it going to make you holy to be in... Is that a makom kadosh? I'm going to be sitting in class. No, I'm not going to be learning Avi courses. The same. So you're taking American history class. You're sitting next to a girl named Tiki Kang. Okay? Nice looking Chinese girl in a miniskirt. So you, is that kadosh to be sitting? And I have nothing against it. She doesn't know any better. She never came to seminary for the year. Yeah, so, but is that going to make you holy? That's the question. And you choose a place to live. You choose a neighborhood. So I'm going to live in Teaneck. If Teaneck is a mother, I don't know. I've never been. Just one time I drove through. In a few weeks, I think I'm spending Shabbos there. And please don't come afterwards and invite me, because then it can be so hard for me to decide where to go. So in the meantime, I have no place. So I'll just sleep on the street. So you guys said, if this is a Makom Kadosh, then I'll live here. Teaneck is a Makom Kadosh. If Woodmere is a Makom Kadosh, I'll live here. Or, alternatively, am I going to make it a Makom Kadosh? Right now, it's not a Makom Kadosh, but I'm going to make it a Makom Kadosh. If you're going to make it a Makom Kadosh, you can live there. But you're going to say, oh, do they have a shul? They have a rabbi? They have kosher food? That doesn't mean kedusha. That just means that you're keeping a few of the rituals, which is very nice. I have nothing against shuls. But the question is it going to make you kadosh? Say, wait a second. Maybe there's something called Eretz HaKodesh. Eretz HaKodesh. This is my Yom HaTzmut Rosh. It's going to be about 10 seconds. Maybe Eretz HaKodesh, maybe that's holier. Maybe your Shalayim is holier than New York. Is it sad, right? It could be. Maybe. You're going out with a girl, not a shifro, and not how long her skirt is. They're both important. But does she want to live a life of kedusha? She wanted a little life of Kedusha. And then if you have a discussion on a date, whether or not you're going to have a TV, it's mutter or not to have a TV. You say, but wait a second. It's going to bring Kedusha into my house if you have a TV? Is that Kedusha? And if she says to you, what's a TV? So chances are that, go with her. Go with her. But people have these discussions. No, should I go to... What's the question? Is it going to make me holy? Not is it mutter? Oh, yeah, it's mutter for a girl. It's mutter for a girl because a girl doesn't... She's allowed to watch what's on TV. I mean, there's no... She's allowed to see a woman dressed immodestly. She's allowed to see a guy also in shorts. We're not allowed to see a woman in shorts. They're allowed to see a guy in shorts because they understand that it's no thrill to see a guy in shorts like we understand. But we don't understand like she understands that it's not a thrill to see a girl in shorts. You see a little bit of her leg above her knee. Wow. But anyway, that's a crazy tale. So you see? But she said, oh, maybe we should. It's mutter for me. It's mutter. My rabbi told me it makes you holy. You watch, what's the show on television? What you do? The Simpsons. It makes you holy. No, I don't know. I've never seen it. Maybe we'll have a showing after Mars. You'll show me, don't make it. But if it doesn't make you holy, you just don't do it. You don't do it. If you're going to have a conversation with somebody, and it doesn't some way going to enhance your life or his life, or just a conversation, just to be normal. But if it doesn't, if it's not on some level, some way related to Kedusha, then what's the point? It's a very high matriga. But it's not, first of all, it's a haftacha of the Svaram said you're going to be. But more than that, it's a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv doraisa, a mitzvah midoraisa, just like there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin that we all keep when we keep Shabbos. To be holy. And you work towards it, you do all the things, a lot of things in the Svaram it says. And then in the end, you get the holiness. You get to the point where somebody can look at you like the Chafetz Chaim could look at a Jew. The story about the Chafetz Chaim, he saw the Belzer Rebbe, and he says, I see the Shechina on that man's head. He says, I see the Shechina on his head. You know what you get from that story? You get that the Chafetz Chaim was so holy, he could see the Shechina. And you get that the Belzer Rebbe was so holy that he had the Shechina. Wherever he went, he had the Shechina. And the Chafetz Chaim could see that. That's what it means. And you can have, not only could you have it, you're chayiv to have it. You're chayiv. Every person's chayiv. You just have to take it easy. You can't all do it in a day. You know what I mean? Tomorrow you can't just say, you send a text message to every girl. No, I'm holy. You go on your Facebook. I'm wondering where the Facebook fits in with the Kedusha. I haven't found it yet, but somebody's going to explain it to me. So you go on, you send all your Facebook, I'm still not exactly clear on what it is, other people taking pictures of themselves and trying to get other people interested in their lives. I'm not sure how it works, but that's what I understand. So you go on Facebook and you say to everybody, all right, now I'm holy. I'm not saying in a day, I'm not saying in a week, I'm saying it's something to work towards, and when you make a decision that's going to lead you towards holiness. When you decide you're going to marry a girl who's going to help me go towards Kedusha, her goal for her husband is to be an Adam Kadosh. And when you get a rav, everybody has to have a rav. When you have a rav, get a rav who's an Adam Kadosh. Just because a rav is cool, and he was at the movies with you last night, doesn't necessarily mean that he's the right guy. You want somebody Kadosh, because somebody Kadosh can make you holy. That's the goal. So I want to give everybody a bracha, and myself included, and even Sochem, because I'm the lowest of all, that we should all be Zochem, Mirz Hashem, the Kedusha, and we should internalize the Yahu Kamoni that we could be the Zahavimina as holy as God, and in the end, almost as holy as God. Two. Hashem is